Today I want to direct your attention to the words of the verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Here we have a reference to the Savior's ability to speak a word in season. A word in season from Christ is brought to our attention in these verses. Because here you have a prophetic word in which the Savior himself is the speaker, speaking through Isaiah, yet it is the person of Christ that is very clearly in view here, as verses 6 and following particularly emphasize. It is the Savior speaking here in the first person. How wonderful it is to open the Bible and to hear the voice of Christ. May that be our experience as we look at this portion together. The words of the chapter as a whole are part of a challenge to Israel by the Savior as to their wicked rejection of him and their continuing unfaithfulness to God. There is a sense in which the words clearly are related to Isaiah's day, but yet there is a sense in which we must read them in the wake of the Savior's coming to this earth. Verse 2, wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? There is a sense in which the words, as I've said, apply in every age and to all men who reject the Savior as he comes, whether it was through the prophet Isaiah, whether it was in the days of his own personal ministry, or even in our own day, right down to the present and until that day when he comes again, when through those who preach the gospel, Christ himself draws near and comes to face men with the truth of his word and challenges those who hear about their sin, their rejection of him, and their unfaithfulness to the God of heaven. But the challenge is particularly to Israel here. The Savior would have them to recognize their sin, their unfaithfulness to God under the analogy of an unfaithful and adulterous wife. They had departed from God. They had turned to idols. They had rejected God's Savior. They had rejected God's truth. He would have them to recognize not only their sin, but the misery that their sin had brought upon them. They are, in effect, slaves, he is saying. They had been sold, not by him. They had rather sold themselves into slavery by their unfaithfulness to God. And to use the picture that is brought to our notice here, that though they might have enjoyed the privileges of a wife in the household of God, they had separated themselves from him by their sin and were in fact living as the slaves of their enemies. While that is true of Israel, there is an application of that truth to every sinner. Because in the gospel, in the mercy of God, there is offered to all who will turn, to all who will believe, there is offered a place in the family of God. There is offered a place in the house of God. There is offered even that standing. Again, to continue the language of the prophet here, the standing of a wife as part of the bride of Christ. Or to change the picture slightly, to be brought as a child into the family, into that wonderful relationship with God in Christ. But so long as men reject the Savior, and continue to turn away from God to pursue their own ways, they will rather be the slaves of sin. And here the Savior is setting this out through Isaiah before the people, that instead of the glorious privileges of the gospel that could have been theirs, by their sin and by their rejection of the Savior, they have brought themselves into the state and condition of slaves. They've sold themselves into the miserable condition of the slaves of their sin. The words of the Savior here have application to every sinner who continues to reject the overtures of mercy that Christ makes in the gospel. He is presented here as the gracious, obedient servant of Jehovah, the one who, as the incarnate Redeemer, comes to earth to obey the command of God and to redeem and ransom the slaves of sin. His words are particularly referred to in the verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. There is not a Christian anywhere but has come to learn the truth of this text. They have come to learn what the wise man Solomon learned, and put it in a slightly different fashion in Proverbs chapter 15 and the verse 23. A word spoken in season, how good is it? And again in chapter 25 and the verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Precious work of art. Something that delights the heart. Oh, a word spoken in season. What a blessed word it is. When it's just the right word. And the Savior is the master of being able to speak just the right word at just the right time. Every Christian, I say, has proved that. For there was a time in their experience when they heard the Savior speak. And it was just the right word at just the right time, when in their desperate realization of their state before God, they cried on the Savior, and He called them to Himself. And they heard His voice saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come, weary soul, and I will give you rest." Thank God for that personal experience of being able to identify with the words that the Savior Himself says here. I know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Have you heard that word? Not only that word in the gospel, but thank God there is, as our text will teach us, that ongoing experience of having the Savior speak the right word day after day after day. May God indeed bring us into that kind of communion with the Savior. First of all, let's notice here His ability to speak. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I know how to speak a word in season. The reference here is to the Savior as He is equipped by God as the prophet redeemer of His people. He has been equipped by God in the person of the God-man, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the redeemer of His people. He has been equipped by God to meet their needs, particularly in their need for a word from God, in their need for a revelation of truth. The sinner is in darkness. The sinner is in ignorance of God. Man by nature has no knowledge of God. He needs a prophet. And Christ is equipped by God to be the prophet that men need in order that they might know and learn of God. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. He comes to men to speak for God. And He has especially been prepared by God for this particular role. Now, in a general sense, the Scripture emphasizes the preparation of Christ by God to be the Savior of sinners. A body hast thou prepared me, Hebrews 10 and verse 5. In the revelation of the news of the incarnation in Luke chapter 1 as the angel speaks to Mary previous to the miraculous conception of Christ in her womb. Mary says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And there, even in the revelation of the virgin birth, the emphasis is upon the preparation of Christ in all that He is as the incarnate Redeemer of His people. The preparation of the person of Christ and the equipping of that person by God to discharge His work. But especially when we come to think of the words of Christ, there is an emphasis in the Scriptures upon how He was prepared by God to speak. In the Psalm 45, a wonderfully prophetic psalm with Christ as its focus, in the Psalm 45 and the verse 2, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." Lips anointed by God to speak words of grace to His people. In the New Testament, in John chapter 14, or chapter 1 rather, in the verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ equipped by the Father, filled with grace and truth, as He comes as the incarnate God to be the Redeemer of His people. The Savior has been equipped by God to be just the Savior that sinners need. That's the teaching of the Scripture. But specifically, the text draws our attention to the fact that He has the ability to communicate the Word of God to those who need to hear it. Here is a particular equipping in view. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak." He has been given a tongue. He has been, as the incarnate God, equipped with a body, and even given a tongue to speak with learning, to speak with knowledge, to speak with profit. The words of Christ are the words of God. They are the words of Jehovah, as is emphasized here by the verse 4, "The Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, Adonai Jehovah, my Master Jehovah hath given me the tongue to speak." The words are the words of God, spoken by Christ as the servant of God. His words are wisdom. His words are a revelation of knowledge. His words are the revelation of the truth of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses spoke those wonderful words in anticipation of Christ coming as the prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That was God's word to Moses. "I'm going to raise a prophet. He's going to be like you, Moses. And I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." This is the a constant, repeated theme in the New Testament. There are numerous statements, for example, in the Gospel of John, where this truth is emphasized, that the words that Christ spoke are words that have been given to him by God. This is the word in season. It is a revelation from God to men, given to us and communicated to us through Christ Himself. John 7, the verse 15. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" The Savior had not attended any of the great learning institutes of His day. He hadn't been through the schools of the scribes and of the Pharisees. He hadn't been to learn in that sense, but the Savior had clearly spent time with His Bible. He knew His Bible entirely. He had learned the Word of God as a boy growing up. He grew in wisdom and in knowledge as he studied out the Scriptures. And his learning is apparent even as he comes now to speak publicly in his own ministry. And it's a source of mystery to those who hear him. How does he know this? And he goes on to say in the verse 16, "Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And he simply emphasized to them, "I haven't made it up. It's not my teaching. It's not so much my message. It is the doctrine or the teaching of Him that has sent me." John 8 and 26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things that I have heard of Him. He hath given me a tongue to speak." The words of Christ are the words of God. And this is emphasized repeatedly in the Scriptures. "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." As Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto men by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Christ is the one who speaks for God. He is the one who has always done so. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 1:10 and 11, and you know this truth, that it was Christ who spoke through the prophets as they wrote down the inspired Scriptures. He spoke to us personally during His own ministry. He spoke through the apostles. He speaks through His written Word. He continues to speak today through the uninspired preaching of the inspired book. As Paul, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are representatives of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. This is how Christ speaks, as the truth of God today is preached in the preaching of His Word. The Savior speaks. "The Lord hath given me a tongue." And here is how the tongue is exercised today, through the writings of the prophets and the apostles, and through the ministry of that inspired Word in the Church of Jesus Christ. He has the ability to communicate. He has been given that ability as the Savior to communicate to men from God what they need to hear and what they need to know. The prophet here in the text also emphasizes that Christ not only is the source of a word, the word of truth, the word of knowledge, the word of God, but that He is a source of the supply of daily, constant, fresh resources from God to men. "The Lord hath given me a tongue, that I should know how to speak a word. He wakeneth morning by warning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." I take those words as a reference to that marvelous and mysterious communication between the Father and the Son. The Son is the Redeemer in communication with the Father, and then in turn communicating to His people day after day after day, morning by morning, Oh, what freshness there is in what Christ communicates to His people. Morning by morning, He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And it's as if the Savior is continually learning to communicate to His people. Communicating continuously the resources of God to His people through His Word. Surely we can say, never man spake like this man. What a word is this. The Father speaks to the Son, who diligently and gladly hears. His ear is tuned to the mind and to the will of God, and He communicates from God to men constantly and eagerly. Look at the expression there at the end of the verse 4. He wakeneth morning by morning, He wakeneth mine ear to hear. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. The Lord Jesus has an ear for what the Father has to say. And eagerly and delightedly, morning by morning, He communicates that. That knowledge of God, that truth of God to His people. The Savior illustrates this during His own ministry. In John 15, the verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Faithfully, diligently, the Savior communicates from the Father to His people. John 17 and the verse 8, I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them. I have taught them. Here is the Son in communion and prayer with the Father, saying, I have given them what You've given to me. Mine ear has been opened, as it were. I have heard. I have learned. I have exercised my tongue. I have spoken to them. They have heard. And the Savior communicated diligently and faithfully and in great love and tender patience to His people during His earthly ministry what He had learned of the Father. Early and often in communion with His Father, rising up a great while before day to go and pray. Coming back from that prayer time to speak, to teach the people. Still, in a sense, that pattern is repeated as the Redeemer. He stands before the Father as our advocate, in continual, undying intercession for His people, going on our behalf to deal with God and communicating from God to us the answer. He has an ability to speak. He speaks here as our go-between with God, given a tongue to speak, and communicated and communicating what He has learned to His people. But notice, secondly, the one that He speaks to. See how the text puts it in personal and individual terms here. I know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, to the weary one. It's in a singular terms here. I know how to speak to the individual. Thank God He knows how to speak to the multitude, but He knows how to speak to the individual. He can speak personally and individually. And how often we have been thankful for those personal words from God. That's what communion with God through Christ is all about. It comes right down to a personal level. Are you listening to the voice of the Savior? Oh, we can be part of the crowd, but are you listening as an individual? I know how to speak to one that is weary, the Savior says here. You'll know that specifically here then in the verse 4, He emphasizes that He speaks to the one who is weary. Weary in soul. The word that's used here comes from a verb that simply means to run, and then by extension to be weary and fatigued and exhausted through running. He's gone as far as He can go, as fast as He can go, and He can go no further. He's weary. Now there are many reasons for such fatigue and weariness that the child of God has to face. many circumstances that will bring weariness of soul, but the Savior says in all of those circumstances, however you got at the place where you're weary, I know how to speak. I have a word for the weary. I have a word for the one that's exhausted in running. Oh, how gently and tenderly the Savior speaks here. He is a sympathetic Savior. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Savior knew what it was to be weary, to fall asleep in the boat, even in that storm that was on the sea. He knew what it was to sit on the well, tired with his journey. He knows how to speak to the weary. The context here would indicate a particular kind of weariness. It's linked with the ongoing judgment of sin that was the experience of the nation. The immediately preceding verses have spoken of instances of judgment in the land that the speaker, the Savior himself, has inflicted. I have made the heavens like sackcloth. I have dried up the waters. There's been drought. The fish have died and stunk. There's been darkness and blackness. Various instances of divine displeasure in the land. There's a weariness in the wake of that. Primarily the chapter is speaking and addressing to those who are the servants of God. As verse 10 indicates, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Here are faithful saints of God, but they're in darkness. They are obeying God, but they're suffering under the darkness that is abroad in the land. They're weary. Weary with the evidences of judgment. Weary living under the national displeasure of God. Weary with the absence of progress in the work. Weary with not seeing God move in power and in blessing. And they're living in days of apostasy and of judgment upon that apostasy. And it's wearisome to the soul. Many a saint of God proves that in this day too. We live in such a time. The Lord says, you keep on walking. Yes, you're in the darkness. Don't be tempted like the devil's crowd to invent your own light, light your own fires, and walk in the light of human invented light. That's always a great temptation, you know, in a day of apostasy and in days of departure from God. You see evidence of it all around us. When the nation departs from God and there is darkness prevails in the land spiritually, there's always the temptation, and many have fallen into it, to invent light. Get away from the old truths of God and let's make our own light. And we'll walk in our own light. And it'll look like we're in revival. It'll look like we're in blessing. That's what the charismatic movement and Pentecostalism and all that business is about. It's an invention. And people can persuade themselves they're living in revival when in fact they're not. Here, the true servants of God in verse 10 are weary. They're in the darkness. And all around them, the wicked and those that have embraced false religion, they can make their own light. Ah, the Lord knows how to speak a word to the weary. And He speaks to His people here. And how that word is especially needed in a day when sin is rampant. And the displeasure of God is the order of the day. And there are not those indications and signs of blessing that our souls long for. And maybe have become disappointed and discouraged because we haven't seen. Jesus says, I know how to speak a word to the weary. Included, no doubt, among the number here would also have been those who had come to feel the weariness of their burden of sin. The weariness of their guilt, carrying a burden. Ah, thank God the Lord knows how to deal with those that have come to feel the awful load of sin. Where He speaks, as we have already used the words from Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And wherever there is a soul that has learned under the displeasure of God that sin is an awful thing, and has become weary under that burden, oh, the Savior knows how to speak a word in season. To the sinner under conviction, to the sinner who's struggling with the burden of his guilt, Jesus says, I know how to speak a word. That's just the right word at the right time. Because you see, weariness of soul, whether it's in the Christian or whether it's in a sinner, weariness of soul is only ever relieved by a word from Christ. That's the only answer to weariness, to fatigue of soul, is a word from the Savior. What was the word that he's speaking of here? Because it is defined for us in the context. As he goes on in verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, speaking about his sufferings, speaking about the success of his own work, knowing, to use the words of another chapter, that he would see the travail of his soul and would be satisfied. Knowing that he will, though he suffer and he gives his back to the smiter and his cheeks to those that pluck off the hair, he did not turn back. He pressed on. He finished the work. And he says, he is near that justifieth me. The work was finished and won the approval of God. That's the word that comforts the heart of the weary. Jesus came and in the flesh suffered, and yet did not turn back, but finished the work that his Father had given him to do. This is the work that is in view here. This is the word in season. I know how to speak a word in season, and immediately he goes on to talk about his sufferings, his death, and the success of those sufferings in securing the goodwill and the well done of God. You remember that built in necessarily into those words in verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. When God justified Christ, it simply means that he declared him just. The work was finished, sin was dealt with and put away. God could not have declared Christ just in the wake of his sufferings if a single sin had remained. God justified him in the sense that he said, sin is put away. The sin bearer has made an acceptable sacrifice. He has emerged from his sufferings, and none of the sins that he bore remain. But built into that little statement is the justification of every sinner that believes Christ. I am in Christ. I died in him. I am justified in him. That's a word in season to the weary. That's the answer for the sin-sick soul, is to hear the message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to justify the ungodly by taking upon himself the curse of sin. Here is the word that helps and succors the weary soul. You know the familiar terminology of Hebrews chapter 12, where we are exhorted to look unto Jesus. And the apostle there says this, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But Jesus did. Jesus did. He suffered unto blood. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It is the doctrine of Christ's suffering, the doctrines of redemption, of Calvary, that are a word in season to the weary soul. It is as the sufferings of Christ are rehearsed in our ears by him that relief comes to our heart. You know, it's one thing for a preacher to talk about Christ crucified and about Calvary, about the cross. That's very good. But unless that preaching comes to our heart as the word of Christ, it'll bring no relief. But if Jesus speaks those words, there's relief for the weary soul. What a difference the sound of the Savior's voice makes to the weary. Can you begin to imagine how Mary Magdalene felt as she wept at the tomb? A weary heart. And one word from the Savior as he spoke her name, and the world was a different place. The two on the Emmaus road, as they walked together, and in their communications one to the other, were sad. But they heard the Savior speak. They heard him speak through his word. Their hearts burned. They went back to Jerusalem the same hour, changed disciples. This evening we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 10. And there's a wonderful verse in Daniel 10 and the verse 19 where the Savior is speaking and he says, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. That's the only answer to a weary heart, is to hear the voice of God, the voice of the Savior through His Word, whether it's through the written Word, the preached Word, as Christ speaks. That's the answer to the weary heart. The only answer to the burden of sin is to have the Savior speak the truth. I gave my back to the smiter. I gave myself in the sinner's place to secure justification before God. But let's in closing notice quickly when he speaks. Two things are suggested to us here in the text. First, he speaks in season. He speaks in season. Now the idea of being in season, a timely word, is really part of a compound verb that's translated here to speak. So the whole idea of the verb that's used here is to speak in season, or to speak a timely, helpful word. Part of the idea in the word that's used is to rush to someone's help, to run to their aid. I think that there is a very similar idea in the word that's translated helper in Hebrews 13 in the verse 6. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And that word is made up of a compound of two words, one who runs and one who calls. And maybe the way you would run to someone that is in distress and you would shout to them to let them know, I'm coming, I'm coming. Maybe a mother to her child that's crying in distress and to encourage the child, to comfort the child. I'll be there, I'm on my way. That's the idea that's in the word here. He speaks a word in season. He speaks the word you see, and the word is but the harbinger of the person. I'm on my way, I'm coming. And he speaks this word, I'm coming to help. I'll be there. The Lord is my helper. Here is the Savior who not only knows our need and knows how to speak, but His Word always indicates His presence. Where He speaks, there He is. We can sit with our Bible in the place of private devotion and then the Lord speak to our heart. He's not speaking from a distance. He's not speaking from far off. He's right there. That's the wonderful thing, that when we hear the voice of God, we know the presence of God. I know how to speak. And when He speaks, He's there. He has come quickly to the aid of His people. How wonderful it is to know that the Lord Jesus is ready to come quickly to the aid of the weary soul. When we cry to Him in our weariness, He's there quickly to speak. When the sinner, under the burden of his sin, no longer able or willing to go on, and in weariness cries out, Lord, save me, immediately the Savior is there. The Scripture would cause us to understand that when the sinner calls upon Christ for salvation, it's because He is near. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Turn that around and look at it from another perspective. When the sinner calls, Jesus is right there. It's a word in season. A word that indicates His presence. A word that indicates His running to our aid. And then we have the expression, morning by morning. He wakeneth, morning by morning, He wakeneth mine ear to hear, as the learned, and by inference to communicate, day by day, morning by morning, early, constantly, repeatedly, He speaks. At the beginning of the day, is it not an interesting thing that there's a reference to the morning? If ever, under normal circumstances, if ever there's a time in the day when we're going to feel fresh, when we're not going to be fatigued. It's going to be in the morning time. And yet even in the morning time, and I think the lesson is this, that even when we're at our freshest, we still need a word from God because we're still weak. We still have no ability. We still have no power. Even at our very best, we have nothing. We need the word and the presence of Christ to invigorate and strengthen the heart, to set out upon the day with a word from God, to set out in the morning time, invigorated and strengthened to run the race set before us that day by a word that's fresh from the tongue of Christ, having received it from His Father to communicate to us the truth through His word. Is that how we start our day? Is this the description of our routine in life, that morning by morning our ear is open to the words of Christ? How often we start the day weary, and very often it goes downhill from there. We're fatigued, we're beat before we start sometimes, but thank God there's a Savior we can turn to. I tell you, I have got up many a morning and I'm beaten before I get to the start line, but the Lord is able to speak. We have a Savior who suffered in the body, who knows all about our struggles. There have been times when I have wakened, and I'm thankful for them, when I've wakened maybe even with just a song in my heart, in my mind, a hymn or something in my thoughts, just as you come to. There have been times I've wakened, weariness and tiredness, and yet singing in my soul those words, Jesus knows all about our struggles. I tell you, there's no better way to wake up. I've asked the Lord to wake me up that way, because a good way to start the day. Jesus knows. He's able to speak a word in season. In that sense, there's no reason for us to go on in our state of spiritual fatigue and exhaustion. Oh, we may be tired in the body. That's a different thing. We're talking here about fatigue of soul. Jesus has a word. Thank God He has the wisdom of omniscience to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's the way to start the day. The day will go an awful lot better if we start it that way. If we go out to meet the day with the words of our Redeemer in our heart, we'll meet it strengthened, energized, empowered to face the challenges that in the will of God we will meet that day. Morning by morning, then, let's learn the lesson to place ourselves under the instruction of the Redeemer.